where are you getting your data? How are you protecting your data? Making sure that you're paying attention to privacy laws, right? So I think in all of these areas, you're setting out to actually build more automation into your company. It's really about finding the tools to help scale a very complex world.
Hey gang, it's Tuesday, December 7th. Listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast made possible by Basis Technologies. I'm Marcus. Today's fact, water is repelled by magnets. Apparently, I don't trust this one. If you have a little cup of water floating on top of a sink filled with water, then you can push it around with a magnet. Don't know why you'd want to do that, but it's nice to have the option. Anyway, today's real topic, a conversation between our very own eMarketer Briefing Director, Jeremy Goldman, and President of Basis Technologies, Tyler Kelly, about the rise of complexity of automation and how the ad industry is evolving as a result.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy Goldman, Director of the eMarketer Briefing, and I'm really excited to be sitting down today with Tyler Kelly, President of Basis Technologies. Hey, Tyler.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
Oh, I'm really excited for this conversation. And I think one of the first things I really wanted to just kind of start with is Basis Technologies is a new name in the market, but the company originated about 20 years ago, I believe, right? What's the quick background on you and the company in general?
Yeah, a lot of people know us as Centro. That's where we really built our brand for years. And when Sean Riesacker, who was the founder, CEO of Basis Technology, set out to start a company. This was after the dot-com bubble burst. You know, he was looking around and trying to figure out how do we help the industry, really, and try to scale an industry that was very fragmented. So we set out to build a technology all the way back. Our first technology we released in 2006, which was MMS, which is Media Management System. And the idea was really around automation, how to create a better workflow process that agencies can help scale, because digital media was 10 times harder than buying traditional media, even back then. And so that's always been our mission. And in order to do it and fund the technology, we created a lot of services. And so Centro really carried a lot of service brand recognition. But the goal was always to be a technology company. But we went to go release it, MMS, into the marketplace. And sure enough, we built it just for ourselves, and we could not actually fragment it or break it apart. So we had to go back to the drawing board. We released our second technology, which was actually called Transys, around 2010, and we're at the 4A's, everything's going great. And we're really believing in a workflow and automation. And of course, two boosts down from us is Media Math and Turn. And the industry shifted. And I think with automation, one of the difficult things is industry change and trying to adapt to it. And we realized that moment we had to acquire a DSP in order to have a biddable technology at the core of what our automation technology would be. So in 2013, we actually bought Site Scout, and we actually pulled that in. And we had another real big inflection point, which was, do we stick to the mission on creating the best workflow automation platform, or do we just put all our resources into a DSP? And we chose to stick to the mission and really try to help change an industry. So from 2013 to 2018, we took everything back down to the studs, and we rebuilt everything in the newest code base, which is great. We launched Basis in 2018. And since then, we've had just tremendous success in the marketplace. And then why the brand change or why the name change is really because we have full faith in Basis, and we want to make sure that that is our company as we move forward, because we are kind of shedding a lot of the services model and a lot of things that we were doing and really focusing a lot more on the technology and want to be associated with that as we move forward. It was also a little confusing to some clients, right? You would buy Basis, but you're getting bills from Centro. And so to really clean all that up, really being streamlined and being Basis as we move forward is the direction we want.
You know, makes a lot of sense. And I know you were talking about DSPs a second ago. The programmatic advertising technology in general that's out there, it solves complexity and automates the buying process. But does the industry just need better DSPs or smarter programmatic ad software?
Yeah, I think it needs, the industry is going to continue to evolve. We need to get better at both. But what we do know is that usually what we've seen is media doesn't go away, right? So when digital came on, radio didn't fall off, right? When, you know, CTV, people are still buying linear, right? So you need something to pull it all together and create efficiencies. You know, when I joined in back in 2006 and 2005, when we were setting out, the premise was, can you believe that in 2005, 2006, everyone's still using Excel and Outlook to execute their digital media or their media in general? And now it's 2021 and we're still using Excel and Outlook to actually execute our media business.
Yeah. No, I think it's you're right. There is a lot of fragmentation out there. And I think another key thing, you know, as we're thinking about how to accomplish things, obviously automation is a major topic that's on a lot of people's minds. What other parts of the advertising process does the industry commonly forget when they're developing for automation?
Well, it's just a matter of how many tools that they're going in and out of, right? Between search, social, programmatic, traditional media, linear. Then you've got Slack, you've got communication tools, vendor directories, where are they finding, who are they going to reach out to, and how are they going to establish those? There are so many pieces to this really complex problem. And that's why we, you know, really built Basis, was to try to pull all these together. But it's ever evolving, right? There's always something new, there's something different. Then you also think about data, right? Where are you getting your data? How are you protecting your data and making sure that you're paying attention to the privacy laws, right? So I think in all of these areas, you're setting out to actually build more automation into your company. It's really about finding the tools to help scale a very complex world, right? And I think you're seeing some companies like at Google or at Adobe try to pull a full stack together. We really want to play within the execution and be that kind of place you start and stop your day with.
And even from the consumers that I speak to and some of the marketing professionals, some have a natural fear of automation. How do you sell them on it? What's your advice to those who are resisting it still?
Yeah, the advice really is around, I think, showing a better future, right? And showing that, hey, you can get more from your employee base than you did before, right? And so not saying you need to change your employee base, just getting them focused on strategy. You know, one of the main focuses that I talk to our technology team about is, take the associate level at every single agency. Look what they do. They do pacing, optimization, and billing reconciliation. Out of those three things, they should be automated. Plus, you've got people who just graduated college, you know, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you're having them do kind of brainless work. So can you still hire those people, but have them really start doing strategy sooner and really automate those lower level functions that need to be done, right? I think people choose an agency or fire an agency based on those things I just talked about. But reality is, how do we use technology to help scale that?
So I think that's really interesting. Maybe we can spend another minute on it about how the roles of media pros are going to change if automation is a factor. You talked about strategy and, you know, things that actually require their full brain power. So what does that look like?
Yeah, I think it's starting to think of the new ways to execute media, whether that's through sponsorships, whether that's through really diving deeper in understanding, putting your ad in the right place and the right content, really thinking about that brand identity and thinking about where it really plays and how can you drive more sales to whatever you're trying to do, right? And I think we get so lost in just trying to hit deadlines, right? I need a plan in 24 hours. We need to be live. Great. Well, then you get a very cookie cutter looking plan because there's just not enough time. And I think if we can give back time and people can start using it, start thinking strategy, I think we'll see better advertising.
And also really makes me think about the Great Resignation, which I've been covering a bit lately, and how much that can be a problem for the advertising industry. And I'm wondering, you know, in some ways, automation can arguably maybe fix that because it gives people more interesting things to do. But when you think about the Great Resignation, how do you define it and how do we fix it in general?
Yeah, well, it's not just our industry, right? I think our industry is getting hit very hard with it, but I think we're seeing it across the board. And I think, to your point, we have to be putting people in positions that they feel like they're getting challenged, that they're doing something exciting, that they want to be there, right? I think you have to focus on culture, right? Flex work, right? If you're not offering flex work environment, I think you're going to be really behind the eight ball because I think people want that flexibility. They want to control their lives and their destiny. And I think because of the pandemic, we've learned to operate within a video world. And now how do you trust your people to be able to get the same work capacity, if not more, but really focus on culture and challenging them, I think, with better work and better work products. If you have them just doing just the same thing over and over again, I think people get burned out and it won't work.
I mean, listen, speaking as the guy who's in our podcast studio in Times Square, and unfortunately, you're not right across from me. I totally agree with that. it's definitely a changed world. What's your advice for the agencies or the brands out there who are trying to manage complexity in some way? You know, what should be their first step in trying to make sense of it all?
You know, I always tell people to start with the end in mind. What are you trying to do? Right? What are you trying to achieve? Whether that's trying to sell more of what you're trying to sell, whether it's trying to get your brand more recognition, right? So start with the end in mind, then work backwards from there. What do you need to execute that, right? Whether that's a better data strategy, whether that's better media tools, but really take a look at your full stack and how you're executing and making sure everything is talking to one another, right? If you're breaking everything into silos, it's going to be very hard to create efficiencies if you have your, you know, search team on one floor and your social team on another floor. You know, how are they all working together? Because I truly believe what people are searching for should inform what's going into your display ads, right? Because that's what people are demanding and they're wanting to see. So how do you start utilizing the knowledge and take that complexity, but make it work for yourself by really streamlining that process? But I always say start with kind of the end goal.
And I know that, you know, I'm glad that I'm asking you this because I know that this is a major focus of yours, right? What does Basis Technologies offer to solve for industry complexity?
Yeah, we really took, you know, you said earlier, you know, 16 years of building this technology and really encapsulated. It's very difficult to build. And what makes it difficult is all the moving parts. And so what we are trying to do is to be a very integrated platform. So we want to have the most open API to where you can start working with some of your data providers, your different stacks, and try to pull it all in one place. But some of the best parts of Basis are the non-sexy parts, right? It's the vendor directory, being able to find any publisher or rep that you need at a moment's notice. It is communication tool. So everything is built into it that at the campaign level. So you can see everything. So if you have someone on maternity leave or someone does resign, everything is there in one place and people can just pick up the thread and move forward. Document storage, something that small, but it lives on people's computer. But now within Basis, you can have all your IOs, T's and C's, presentations, PowerPoints, all at the campaign level. So a lot of those kind of non-sexy things is really what creates that automation. You pull it all together and you really see that kind of streamlined approach as we move forward. You know, I compare a lot of times to Salesforce. You know, when Salesforce.com came on, I didn't really want to use it. I was a seller back in the day and I was like, oh, you know, big brother, you're going to be looking at me. But now I can't imagine running a company without Salesforce. And we look at media and the way we're executing media and how fragmented it's all over people's computers and it's all in different places. If we can pull it all together and be that centralized system, but then also realize we have to be open and we have to integrate with a lot of different companies because people are going to need a lot of different providers, whether that's data provider, whether that's search, whether it's social, TikTok, you know, all the new things that are coming out that are gaining a lot of traction, we have to be able to integrate with.
And I always say some of those non-sexy things are the most fun areas to innovate in because you can have the biggest potential upside. I know I have to let you go in a second, but I'm curious, if there comes a time when there's massive proliferation of automation in the ad industry, you're very successful and everybody's bought into this idea, you know, what comes after that? What does the future look like?
Gosh, that's a great question. I mean, you're looking at what Facebook is doing with, you know, the metaverse. I think you've got, you know, what's happening with AR and VR as we move forward. You know, so I think that, yes, there's going to be, I think, more automation. I think there's going to be more tools out there. But I also think this industry is going to continue to invent new ways to execute and drive, you know, where people are spending their time. So I think where we focus at Basis is where are people going? Right? Where are they spending their time? And how do we make sure that we've got those connections to make sure that we allow our agencies to execute media in the most desirable way moving forward?
And I think we can agree if there was more automation in the world, people would have more time to listen to this podcast. So this is really fantastic, Tyler. Thank you so much. And hopefully next time we'll be doing this face to face.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
All right, time for In Other News, but first, a quick word from our sponsor, Basis Technologies. Today's podcast is made possible by Basis Technologies. Basis Technologies has created a digital advertising platform that connects people, automates processes, and unifies channels, bringing together programmatic, site direct, search, social, and CTV into one single interface. And through the power of automation, Basis enables brands, agencies, and publishers to build and operate a healthy, secure, efficient, and profitable advertising organization. Ready to take control of your advertising? Just go to basis.net today. That's www.basis.net. Basis Technologies, the future of advertising has arrived. All right, folks, time now for In Other News. Joining me for the second half, you heard his voice in the first half, it's our eMarketer Briefing Director, Jeremy Goldman.
Hey there, really excited to be with you for this one. I know you've got a bunch of really good stories to talk about.
Thanks. I feel like they're okay, but I appreciate it. We do have some interesting ones for you. Today in other news, how do consumers want to hear from brands, and is convenience finally more important than price? Story one, how do consumers want to hear from brands? Model B and Opinium recently asked folks which media channel they most often engage with brand communications on, regularly, that is. Social media posts and podcasts were joint first with 33%. Social media ads and email were joint third with 32%. And podcast ads were fifth. Zooming in on social media platforms for a second, they're all pretty much in joint first with over 40%, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, etc. There wasn't really much that separated them at all. Jeremy, your thoughts on how consumers want to hear from brands?
Yeah, first off, I think it's very interesting to see the fact that social media posts and social media ads have very similar numbers in this study. So yeah, it's really interesting. Organic and advertising is really kind of converging and the lines are blurring between the two.
Two takeaways from me. One is by age matters. Social media is the most popular channel for brand communications among younger people, with over half of 18 to 34 year olds enjoying hearing from brands through social posts, not ads. So some big variations by age. And then also Clubhouse. Clubhouse was up there with the other social platforms for in terms of engaging with brand communications, which surprised me. It was hiding amongst the more popular platforms like Instagram, Twitter, etc.
But you know, I will say what's very interesting is, yes, Clubhouse is at 40%, which is pretty close to a lot of the other platforms, but that's among people who are active on Clubhouse, right? So if you could double, you know, overnight the user base of Clubhouse, what would happen to that number? You only have that at about 40%, despite the fact that usage is far lower than a lot of other platforms.
Yes, important point. Story two, a great price is important, but convenience and brand preference matter too, writes Sarah O'Grady, VP of brand at marketing company Veracast for Adweek. She notes that the new stay-at-home economy has seen convenience become even more important than before. After stores reopened, only 9% of people cut back on shopping online. When it comes to groceries, half want quick and convenient shopping, just less than half want to buy their favorite brands, and over a third want discounts and coupons to combat rising prices. Recent research from January Digital and CoreSite Research also highlights the ever-growing importance of convenience, noting that free shipping and free returns beat discounts and promotions as motivation for holiday spending. Jeremy, I'm fascinated by this, to be honest. It's always been the case that price has been most important. And with price, you could also argue, you know, that that can be spun off into value as the most important thing. But it seems as though convenience is catching up. We'll pay a little bit more if we don't have to move very much and we get the thing delivered to our face. How close, in your opinion, can convenience get to overtaking price as a number one priority for folks?
First off, I'm glad that you picked this because we were just spending a lot of time covering some of these trends for the eMarketer briefing. So hopefully all of you are subscribers. One of the things that's really interesting to me about this is the fact that, yes, you know, free shipping is almost table stakes, and therefore it does come before promotions. Not to say that people don't want deals, because of course they do, but the experience certainly does matter a lot more than ever before. When you think about the fact that Instacart, you know, and a lot of other services have risen and grown, and there's additional fees that are associated with those services often, but yet they've grown. And the answer is because people will pay a little bit more in order to get something now. Now, you really can't not focus on the fact that there are a lot of people who can't afford these services because there has been a bifurcation in the economy as a result of the pandemic. So let's not forget that. But yeah, a lot mm-hmm. of people who are willing to spend will spend a little bit more to get something that's a little bit more convenient.
Also thought it was interesting that the Adweek piece noting brand loyalty is waning. Over 40% of people are now less loyal to specific brands and half are less loyal to food brands due to rising prices. That is all we have time for. Thank you so much to my guest. Thank you to Jeremy.
Thank you, as always.
Thank you to Tyler. Join Jeremy in the first half. Thank you to Victoria. She edits the show. And thanks to everyone listening. Tune in tomorrow for a brand new Behind the Numbers show, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Basis Technologies. On this new show, co-hosts Insider Intelligence Principal Analysts Susie David Canyon and Andrew Lipsman will talk all about how retail is colliding with every part of our lives. Be that what folks should be watching in the emergent world of retail media, how shopping on social media is evolving, how the relationship between in-store and online shopping is maturing, and more.